Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Garniston, he is the Pyramid.
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money.
How much you gonna pay?
And his partner, Fader Tappender Stevenson.
From Mexico City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Oh, I wish it could be Christmas. Well, it's Wrestling Dafty. It's no Christmas yet. Wrestling Daft is here, your favourite podcast about the wrestling game. My name's Rab Florence. Grado is with me as ever. He is the man who has beat Drew McIntyre. He is the man who has beat Red Lightning, Rudo. He is the man who has beat a list as long as my arm here. Did you beat Abyss? Did you beat Abyss?
Didn't he beat Abyss? I was meant to till about half an hour before the match.
He beat Scotty Too Hotty. Have you ever had a stink face, Afi Rikishi?
No, I wanted to take it, but Shah took it instead.
He wanted a stink face. It's the man himself who wanted a stink face. It's Grado. How you doing, my man? You all right?
I'm good, mate. All good. I'm feeling great, feeling fine. Lovely to see you. And I'm looking forward to talking some smash talk.
Let's talk some smash talk, mate. This is the number one premier smash talk podcast on the internet. What kind of week have you had, Grado? I understand you are in rehearsal for a pantomime.
Yeah, it's been a pretty busy week, Rob, I'll tell you. This week I was involved. I can't say too much about it, but just please watch it and hug me. You could see me on the telly. We are a WWE champion through some sort of satellite. That's all I'm giving you. And also, this week I've started pantomime rehearsals. Not quite the same. We are only just in a week and a half and then shoving it in fucking YouTube. But apart for that, everything's all right.
Wait a minute, hold on, can I just go back? So you're saying, Hugmanay, you are going to be on a satellite link with an unnamed WWE champion?
Yep, who was
that? Is it Chris Benoit?
It's not Chris Benoit.
I'm trying to think of other WWE champions here.
He's taller than Chris Benoit.
He's taller than Benoit. Is he less homicidal than Benoit?
He's slightly less homicidal than Benoit.
Less homicidal than Superfly Jimmy Snuka? Where does he rank on the list of WWE murderers? Is he high? Mm-hmm. Or is he low? Have you ever seen him high? Has he ever been high?
I've never seen him high.
I'm going to stop you there, Grado, before you get yourself in any trouble. Let's look at some correspondence for last episode. Somebody got in touch and said, now, John always gives us these big paragraphs that people get in touch giving us praise, so I have to sit and read out praise at the start of the episode as if we're really insecure, which of course we are. We're in the entertainment industry.
Definitely.
Just wanted to let you guys know you were my top podcast on Spotify Wrapped this year, having listened to 74 episodes over 5,242 minutes. I was on the Mark Show a few months ago and I said to John, Alex and Gary, this is one of my favourite podcasts. Turns out it's not just one of my favourites, but also my top podcast of the year. So thank you, everyone involved. And if it's any consolation after a shite year, you've made my 2020 a bit better. And that's Rico.
Rico.
It's
a cool name, isn't it?
Very nice. Yeah, Rico.
Remember Rico Constantino. Hurry up, Jeff. God damn it. Hurry up. Remember that?
Oh, that's right. Rico.
He's a postman now.
Is he? He's a what? A police?
He's a postman in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Wow.
I remember it because he's been a policeman for like 10 years, but I remember, like maybe in 2013, being in Vegas with my bud and like walking about actually looking for him. You know that way? Make sure Rico, man. It's a bonus.
Oh, yeah, I try to find it. It's a wee place. Rico, is he a patron?
I think he is, yeah.
Well, let's double check that because he might not like us that much. You know what I mean? He's been listening to our podcast for free for all this time. So we'll look into that. Hopefully have some information on that by the end of the year. Shout out to Scott Johnson and Emma Louise, by the way, who both listened to 7 episodes in one day.
How did they tell us that, or is this? Have you got evidence of this, John?
Well, basically, you know, on Spotify, you get shown like what your top podcasts of the year were, and a lot of the listeners have tweeted
John, we know what fucking Spotify is. Yeah. We know what's... you think you're talking to your fucking granda here?
Aye, well, he's asking how I got the information. I'm telling him.
But he's just... Anyway, shout out to Scott Johnson and Emma Louise for that, for listening to 7 episodes in one day. They are, of course, both in Berlin, so it's a big surprise. Also, Draftash on Twitter, who listened to the show for a total of 6,104 minutes across the year as well. That is fantastic. Hope I said your name right there. It's either Draftash... Draft Ache. Who knows? Who knows?
If you read Too Fake, you wouldn't read it like Too Fash.
Right, hold on. Here's another big giant fucking letter for somebody, right? A big giant love letter. So I'll need to put on one of my voices if I'm going to read any. Am I going to read this? It's massive. Is it worth reading, John?
I would say so. I appreciate people. I always feel that people that email and they've went to that extra effort of, you know, doing the email.
Definitely, man.
But no, I need to go to the extra effort of reading the email out.
This is what it's all about, but
I'm no fucking Tiger Tim on fucking Radio Clyde back in the day. I don't need to do this.
I've heard a lot about Tiger Tim recently, man.
What have you heard about Tiger Tim?
Just Credo. People, Gary Marshall for Go Radio says he thinks I've got the potential to be the next Tiger Tim. So, there you go. What's that? Why is that funny?
You've got a potential to be doing the announcements at Parkhead. That'd be.
Is that what Tiger Tim did?
Tim definitely did the announcements.
He did, aye.
So you could aspire to that one day, mate.
Ibrox, isn't he? So.
Aye. Right, so here we go. First up, this is John O'Hare for the bottom end of Lossiemouth saying, first up, let me just say I'm a lifelong wrestling fan, but I've only recently just discovered your podcast. Binging it to death at work on the road a lot, and it's great. Folk must think I'm fucking crazy laughing my whole bag off as I'm driving down the road. So to my questions, and it's about the whole head of the table angle. Does Reigns need Heyman? I would say no. Reigns is plenty capable of talking shit and doing it on his own. I think they're trying to turn him heel too quick. I agree with Jake Roberts, it needs time. I agree with Jake Roberts as if he fucking works with Jake Roberts.
Fucking!
I agree with Jake Roberts.
Are you be seen in the canteen all day?
It needs time, a slow burn. Look at Michael's heel turn for the Rockers. Odd mistake, a wee argument here and there, and boof, fucked Marty right through the windy. Are they lowering Jey Uso's stock by making him Reigns kind of whipping boy? Guy's been a tag champ and he's a legit wrestler. I think he's a lot better than what he's doing. He has been given some spotlight and shown that he can bring it properly when needed. I just think they're making an arse of the poor guy, TBH. Incidentally, off on a tangent here, what the fuck are they doing with Billy Kay? She's far better than this crap they have her doing with CVs and stuff. Is she injured or something? Stay safe, lads, and thanks again. Jonah here for a bottom end, a Lossiemouth. There you go. A big diatribe. Listen, there wasn't that much praise for us there. There was like one sentence of praise for us there, Jonah, and then the rest was about fucking Roman Reigns and Billy Kay.
I don't think this guy's listened to us enough, because this is the kind of letter, if it was sent in like the put over or buddy, Rob, you would go, fucking shut up. I reckon you would you?
No, I wouldn't. I would never treat my listeners like that.
Maybe it was meant to come to Mark's programme. Maybe it was meant to come to us.
That's the kind of shit you was like. John O'Hare, I just want to say, what is that accent about, mate? It's a really weird... Something get pointed out by the great... Andrew Dice Clay on Twitter this week. Me and Gredo love following this guy. There's a bloke in UK fan forum who went to Jake Roberts training camp in 2002. He paid a few hundred quid to sit there and watch Super Tape 92 as Jake called all of today's wrestlers shit. Then he left without teaching them anything. Gredo, was this a similar experience to you?
Very much. It was. We never watched the tape, but he did bury everything. He did say that nobody else in the world can do the DDT right. Honky Tonk Man, nope. Raven, no. He said that nobody can work. The only thing that I do remember him, I mean, he went on and on and on. I mean, he did punch me. I've spoken about this before, and he did say that Drew was the only one that was going to make it. But I do believe that in 2002, Jake was kind of everywhere. That was what he was doing. He was going from school to school, getting money, and just sitting there with his belly out, just talking, sitting fucking whiskey and eating Mars bars, man.
Was there anybody that he put over?
I think maybe Kurt Angle.
Cool. That's good. Fair play. Well, after last week, it was revealed that the naming rights to NXT were swapped for a pair of WrestleMania tickets by Adam Shame, aka Coach Trip. A couple of listeners have suggested other rumours they heard that they were swapped for Jimmy Held. It was for 40 Benson and Hedges and a bag of cans. While Kyle suggested that it was a Quenchy Cup and 10 Chelsea Waffles. Now, every week we ask you to come up with puns based in wrestling. This week we're getting in the festive spirit at last. Gradle wanted to hear your Christmas-based wrestling wordplay. This is beneath me, but it's nice to laugh at, isn't it? Here's what you had to offer. Gary, get in touch with Braun Snowman and Hulk Ho-Ho Hogan. Gary with Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Gangrelf, and Shawn Michael Bubley. Emma in with December Moon, Rudolph Ziggler, and Becky Grinch. Becky Grinch is good, right?
Oh, I just don't know if I'm liking the Christmas.
Right, you, you get a chance.
Right, okay, but I'm just saying it's much better when we do, you know, like, what do, how.
Right, don't, hold on, don't bury it yet, man. Right, it's okay. Fucking just started. Right. There's a thousand of these to read. Steve O says Bobble Lashley, Rick Rudolph, and Young Bucks Fizz.
That's funny. Young Bucks Fizz is funny.
Daniel says Jay Kinderbread Mahal and Drew Galloway in a manger.
That's funny.
Craig with Christmas Tree Minute Warning.
Oh, it's so bad, it's good.
Paul with The Godfather Christmas.
Don't get that one.
Cameron with Sensational Sherry Trifle.
That's funny.
The Rockin' Polar Express.
That's funny.
Oh Come Aspen Faithful. Baby, It's Stone Cold Outside. And Rudolph the Red Light Fiendeer. Jesus Christ.
Shit, man, come on.
Stephen with Kurt Angle, Hardcore Holly Wreath, and Fairy Tale of New Jack. I like that. Right, hold on. I'm going to just skim here to look for good ones. Right, I'm going to look for good ones. David went for Mariah Carey and All I Want for Christmas is Eugene.
I like that.
Of course you like that. You love Eugene, didn't you? Last week's Listener of the Week. This is a big one. Last week's Listener of the Week, trying to retain his title, came in with Drop Missile Toe Hold.
Aye.
Santa Marella.
That's funny.
And Extreme Yules.
Yep, that's good.
Extreme Yules is pretty good. What else is good?
Edgenog. That's good for Stuart.
Edgenog is good, innit? Edgenog is good.
Oh, this one's good, CK. Paul Bearer of Gifts.
Paul Bearer of Gifts is so shit, innit? But that good.
So good.
Terry, we Adam Lump of Coal.
John Selection Boxley.
Let's see. Hold on. Is there something you like here, John, that I'm not mentioning?
There's two that I liked. I liked Bethlehem Phoenix.
Beautiful.
And I liked Big Benny, who went for some songs. So he's went for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Roman Reigns, Dear. And he's went for Deck Scott Hall with Hardcore Holly. Fa-la-la-la, la-la-la-na. Oh,
fa-la-ba-la-la-la-la. Lana. He's actually... How many wrestlers do you think he's putting that? Count them, John.
Right, so... Scott Hall, Hardcore Holly, Lana.
You've missed out Falaba.
Is Falaba a wrestler? I did not know that.
Four wrestlers in the one, hang me.
That's good. That's a
record. Deck Scott Hall with Hardcore Holly, Falaba. Right.
No, boys, I'm calling an end to the puns. I'm calling an end to it.
Really?
No. I've been overruled. Right, well, what are we doing next weekend?
Right, well, this is the thing. It's hard, mate. It's hard. Because I don't know why every time I have to think about it, I go...
What about murderers?
Murderers!
Since you're going to be talking to a murderer at Hugman A, I think on a programme presented by a murderer as well,
we are going to
get some murderer-related wrestler puns.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
I'll try to think if we can think any of the new...
When you hick a murderers, do you use to slight right away think of Myra Hindley and Rose West and all that?
I went straight to Rose West. Adam Rose West.
Adam Rose West is fucking brilliant, mate.
It doesn't have to be necessarily all murderers, it could be the murder weapon or
Harold Kidman.
Harold Kidman is good. I like Harold Kidman. That's weird, Gradle, because I was trying to think of Harold Shipman as well. Why are we going to Harold Shipman? That's weird, isn't it?
Aye, man, because he fucking...
It's a bit of a legend, God, isn't he?
I went through... me, Shat Gnome, went through a fucking 6 months of plastering Harold Shipman's own. He'd own every fucking wrestler we ever had in our fucking photo library. And I mean everybody. We had Harold Shipman had in the ROH Pure title. We had Harold Shipman in an RF video shoot interview. We had fucking everything, man. It was. I remember one time I was in the motor with Jack Jester and I was scrolling through my 40s, and he'd obviously been looking at me. And went, why have you got so many pictures of Harold Shipman? I've got one. Ted King Kong Bundy.
Oh, that's a belter.
That's a screamer, isn't it?
Ted King Kong Bundy is brilliant.
I can't believe you tried to cancel your own fucking gimmick, man. That was great.
If you want to get in touch with us about any of that or just random wrestling-related stuff, get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or email us at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. Now, every week you like to separate the good for the bad in the wrestling, the Home Alones for the Home Alone 3s. In terms of burying and putting over, there's something I want to put over from this. I just want to say that I've been enjoying NWA Shockwave on YouTube, even though they've just been repackaging stuff. They've only been repackaging stuff that was featured on Primetime Live on their kind of pay-per-view deal that they had running. So it's kind of all stuff, but it's a good way to catch up on some great matches. So I want to put that over, that happening. I also want to put over Drew flinging that fucking Money in the Bank case about 500 fucking metres through there. I don't know if you saw that.
Is he tag team champions for Sheamus?
No.
No. Alright.
Anyway, that's what I'm putting. But there's something else I want to put over, but I'll talk about that later.
Well, but before I start, like, I was like, it's funny, like, I don't know, see the way everybody's totally losing their shit about Kenny Omega going to TNA to show up in TNA. Did MD just feel very underwhelmed by all that? Like, do you know what I mean? It would have maybe been cool, something like that, 10 years ago. I don't know. I just get the feeling. And then they done an interview on his bus, so he wasn't actually there. I do believe he is going to be wrestling at the next pay-per-view. Yeah. But I don't know.
I think I always like promotions working together. And I think I've always thought this. I've thought this for a long time, actually. If people really want to poke one right in the eye of WWE, the one thing WWE doesn't do well, doesn't know how to do well, doesn't like doing, is working with other promotions and making exciting things happen with other promotions, even though I think Triple H came out and said, oh, we're always happy to work with other promotions if the deal is right. We know if it's right for business and all that. Now, what that means is he's happy to work with other promotions if it means the WWE eating their fucking promotions up.
Well, do you know, right? do you remember that? Sorry for cutting you off. Would you ever remember the time the
Yeah, we can't hear you. There we go, you're back. Yep.
You ever remember the time TNA hired out Ric Flair? And basically, WWE said, look, for your next pay-per-view, you can have anybody you want. And literally, Bruce Pritchard basically said, look, at the time, WWE would have gave them anybody. Like, they would have gave them John Cena to turn up. But TNA picked fucking Christian Cage because he'd been on TNA before. You remember that? You know that's
I don't believe for one fucking second they would have given them John Cena.
Right, okay. Maybe no John Cena, but they could have got somebody off male note that had never been in TNA before for an... I don't know.
It's easy to say that after the fact. I don't believe a WWE would ever get anybody that's any kind of draw to TNA in a situation like that. I just don't. They don't have any previous for doing that. Even when they ran the storyline of CM Punk fucking off with a belt, and everybody was like, "How cool would this be if he just ended up turning up on other promotions and other shows doing this?" And everybody knew that was the way to play it, and they couldn't pull the trigger on it. They couldn't bring themselves to pull the trigger on that because, you know, they've just never been able to do that kind of stuff. It's not how Vince operates. And I've always thought this is what these other promotions should be doing. AEW and NWA and TNA and all these companies, Impact, all this.
Family Bash.
They should, Grado's Family Bash, they should all be working together, doing big super shows and helping each other out. There's no harm. There's no fucking, they're not going to do each other any harm, but they will do WWE harm if they do that kind of stuff, because they'll start to make WWE look like the odd ones out, look like the kind of outsiders on the scene, you know what I mean? So
I'm all up for lending out fucking Crater to AEW if they want him.
Is Crater signed to an exclusive contract with you?
Basically, the contract that I've signed him to is he can only do family wrestling shows at the Pavilion in Glasgow with me.
Right, okay.
Have you got a proper contract made up, Grado?
Oh, you better believe it, boy. Signed, sealed, delivered, the full lot of them.
He's yours.
Their copyrights, I get to pick their music. That's, I always say, right, I'm getting to pick their music, and then I fucking wait till like 7 hours before it, and I'm on YouTube typing in mysterious music and all that. You know what I mean?
Do you own the rights to, if I wanted to mass market a creator figure?
You need to come through me, mate.
I would need to go through you.
I can maybe let you
because know. I think there's a lot of kids out there, if they woke up on Christmas morning with a creator figure in their Christmas stocking, they're going to be really happy.
If I was to lend you a creator, I would have him wrestle under the pseudonym that he was supposed to wrestle under, World of the Sport, Stench, but he refused to work under Stench, which I thought was a fucking, what a wrestling name for a big guy like that, Stench. It's Stench!
But yeah, I mean, yeah.
Could have made a lot of money.
A creator always makes you think like, it was a thing my mum used to say, he's a daft creator, him.
Yeah.
Huh? That's a thing.
You used to say that?
My mum used to say it. Right, so let's see what the punters are burying and what they're putting over. Ben wants to bury himself for trying to avoid the spoilers about who won the AEW title match and then clicking on a story about Sting at AEW. What was I thinking? Hold on, I want to put over Sting's fucking appearance at AEW. I can't believe I forgot that. I love that entrance. I love that entrance. I've said this before, mate. I've said this before on this very show, that see for an entrance, fake snowfall is fucking better than anything else you can do for an entrance. They used to do it in Hustle Japan. They would have the whole fucking stadium snowfall in the whole stadium, and it's mind-blowing to look at, and that effect was absolutely gorgeous when Sting came out in that snow. It was fantastic. What did you make of Sting turning up?
I thought it was good. I liked his music was good. Fucking fair play to the guy. He sold the record amount of t-shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees in the first 24 hours before it was even like 5 o'clock at night.
With that All Elite Sting t-shirt?
Aye. Crazy, man. Crazy.
He should shave his hair.
Oh, did you not see somebody on Twitter was talking about the amount of times that Sting has debuted with shit hair? Mm. Apparently this is a thing. If you go back to when he debuted, like his first Sting, he said was all the gaff. At TNA, he said it was really gaff. WWE, it wasn't he died right? So
aye, the weird die job. But you know, he looked great. He's a star. He's Sting. Can you say? Always looks good. So good shout there, Ben. Ben wants to put over Don Callis for showing JR how to commentate. We need Rab and Grado to do the same move against Walter in NXT UK. You can do it, Grado.
What's that?
What's he talking about? Oh,
Grado doing comms on NXT UK.
Grado doing commentary on NXT UK.
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
I would commentate in NXT UK. They could use me, I think.
On that, mate.
They could use me. Bobby Gladwin could be back. Colin wants to put over...
Was that your SWA name, Bobby Gladwin? You were a commentator, weren't you?
I was Bobby Gladwin, the commentator.
Who the fuck did you get Bobby Gladwin for?
Well, Robert Bobby, right? And Gladwin is my ma's maiden name, so...
That's nice.
Colin.
That's nice.
Oh, that's nice. Colin wants to put off Sting on AEW, and I'm looking like he was going to winch every cunt in the ring. That was weird, wasn't it? He was just going up and really checking people out. It was as if he was almost like, you know how sometimes when you go and see an old granda in the old folks home, right? And the old granda kind of walks up to you and goes dead close to your face to check that you're actually a real person. before they talk to you, just examining you. That's what it looked like. It looked like Sting was just trying to remind himself what people look like. Colin might say bury Roman's teeth. I just think he looks like he could eat an apple through a letterbox now. Well,
that's what my Uncle Jimmy used to say. He could eat an apple through a letterbox.
You wouldn't want Roman turning up and fucking, he's the type of guy now, he's a big bad heel, he's the head of the table, and you're standing in your fucking house, you try to eat your own apple, and then Roman's teeth come through your letterbox, just fucking.
Everybody straight away has a sort of kind of dislike for MD that has veneers there.
Exactly. It's a heel move, isn't it, getting veneers?
Aye. You mean MD with veneers, you kind of go, ugh.
Do you remember when, what's his name? Is it Rydian?
Oh, yeah. No, Rylan. Rylan.
Who's Rydian?
He was an X-Factor as well.
That's funny because Rydian was X-Factor.
Oh, right. Rylan, when Rylan got his teeth done like that, it was
he became a heel.
He became a heel. That was a heel. So Liam wants to bury fuck all. He can't be arsed. But he wants to put Rab and Grado for keeping him amused with the podcast. Is his pub still shut? and he wants to put all this AEW Omega and Dawn Impact crossover shite. Looking forward to see how far this thing's gone, Gadgey. He's just drunk. That guy's drunk. Daniel wants to put our Big E's new music and bring him back the chalk. Did you see that? Did you see Big E's get his own music now?
Well, I need to hear this right now. Can I hear it? Poof, poof.
He's doing the chalk business that he used to do when he was in NXT. Grado's just checking that out just now. I'll keep going. ICW on the network, Daniel's happy with it. Good stuff, he says. He enjoyed the War Game matches for TakeOver. And he wants to bury Josh Matthews. He says his commentary is effing pish. Effing pee, he says. Mick wants to put our Sting.
The most phoned-in commentary ever is fucking Josh's. I wouldn't mind. I tell him that's his fucking face and all.
Here, Mick wants to bury the thought of Sting having a proper match, even if it is with Jericho. No. Who there doesn't want to see Sting versus Jericho? I would like to see Sting versus Jericho. But I'll tell you what I would like to see more than Sting versus Jericho. You know that Sting versus Jericho would be a good match because you know that you know they would work out something good, right? But the match I want to see in AEW with Sting is with who?
Miro.
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
Omega? No.
No.
Cody? Oh, Dustin. It'll be Dustin.
No, it's Darby Allin.
Ah.
That is the match I want to see. I want to see Darby Allin beating Sting in the middle of the ring. I feel as if that would be a nice kind of almost like passing of the torch type thing. I think Darby Allin's got that nice outsider appeal that Sting is known. Yeah, they've got that kind of outsider vibe. So I would like to see that match. I would like to see that match, and I think I would be happy to have a young guy put Sting away. You know what I mean? Here's something that nobody has even considered. All right? What are the chances of us seeing Sting versus Undertaker in AEW?
You just spoke that right now.
Sting's in there. He signed a contract. He's supposedly there full time.
Wow.
Right? Undertaker, I would imagine, will go into the Hall of Fame next year for WrestleMania. Yeah. And then he'll be gone. Then he'll be away for that company.
But Taker's too much a Vince boy, though, isn't he?
Listen, John, money talks. Tony Khan would fucking pay anything for that match. I can see that happening now, Rab. You've totally made me think
that. No, only that. I have a feeling that with everything Undertaker's done, the goodbye, the farewell has been done, the Hall of Fame thing will get done and stuff like that. I've got a feeling that even if Taker went to Vince and said, would you be cool when we go on? No, as Undertaker, obviously, he couldn't be fucking Undertaker, but would you be cool when we go on AEW and having a match against Sting and doing that? And I think Vince would be like, it's fine. You've done your thing. He's done his fucking shift at WWE. Aye, a day.
What would his AEW name be? Just Mark Calloway?
Yeah, I mean, it would still be absolute fucking money, that much. Match.
The Gravedigger.
Sting versus Mark Calloway would be money.
Gravedigger and Mark Callis?
Could be.
That's mad, isn't it?
You're thinking about it now, aren't you? You're thinking this is actually possible. It could fucking happen.
See, you're fucking good at this shit, man. I wish I had your imagination. Speaking of imagination, how are you getting on with writing the British wrestling drama, which has really whetted my appetite?
Right, okay. For anybody that doesn't know, which is everybody, because I've only really said to Grado about it and to John, about it, mentioned it to John, but I'm currently in the process of writing a drama about British wrestling, which is coming along quite well, I would say. There's been a lot of things done about British wrestling in the UK. There's been a few things done about British wrestling in the UK, but they've always been kind of comedy things. They've always been kind of weird. What was that thing like, Walk Like a Panther and stuff?
Oh my God.
But there was... But
that was a movie, John, where I went and said it was shit and thing we had a money in it, remember?
That's right, yeah, Gordon. Yeah, that was a real put your foot in it moment, Grado. Gordon, in an interview with Gordon Smart, who used to be right for the Sun, Grado was talking about how shit the movie was until Gordon turned around and said, actually, I had 10% of the movie.
What?
I had no idea, man. I was like,
what do you mean? Like, he invested in it?
I invested him. Because Stephen Graham was in it and all that sort of stuff as well, wasn't he?
And it was
he invested 10% of the budget.
Yeah,
he put in 500 quid. There we go. There we go. No, but so I'm writing a wee drama about the last days of the televised British wrestling back in the 80s.
You're allowed to read one line for the script?
Focusing on Big Daddy and King Kong Kirk.
Have you got the other Crabtree? Is there plenty of Crabtrees?
No, there's only really... Well, there's Max Crabtree as well. But it's, you know, it's primarily about the fallout from King Kong Kirk's passing.
Mate, that is a great idea. And you know who I think I can imagine? If everything went to plan, who would be Shirley Crabtree's wife, Big Daddy's wife? Can you not just see it now, playing a worried wife because her man's going up the road?
Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Right, don't okay. say anything. Don't say anything. Is she a British actress?
Aye.
Has she got blonde hair?
No.
Has she... Well, did she used to have blonde hair?
Never.
Who are you thinking about then?
Olivia Colman. Can you just imagine her going, oh, but Shirley, don't get up to that, Shirley. Come on.
Oscar winner Olivia Colman.
What are you laughing at, John? Because you might know the way she always plays that fucking, oh dear. Pure.
You've been watching The Crown too much, Grader.
Fucking right, mate. I love The Crown. I've been watching everything but The Royal Family.
See, I thought...
Listen.
What?
No, I'm just trying to... Please, because like you're asking... You don't set the bar high, mate. Don't be like fucking...
Start with the Oscar winner, Rab. Start with the Oscar winner. Yeah, Olivia Colman. Go for it.
It's going to be like... It'll be a TV drama, you know what I mean? It probably wouldn't be Olivia Colman. I haven't actually thought of any actors. I'm just in the process of writing it, mate. And it would have to be pitched and... Who if it called Nathan Street?
Betty.
Liz McDonald.
What age is Liz McDonald?
She was in fucking I'm a Celebrity last week and she's vegan.
Thanks for that input, guys.
Good luck, mate. No, I'm just trying to get actually. She's not bad at what I say.
Who's going to play Big Daddy, though, Rab? That's the big question.
It would have to be somebody British, obviously,
right, yep.
Who is a wrestler, ideally.
Right, okay.
Who would be willing to gain a great deal of weight for the part.
Right.
Who has acted before, maybe in a show like Endeavour or something.
Who's very unhealthy.
Good at accents.
Right.
Gregarious personality.
Right.
And somebody who has a significant figure in British wrestling currently as well. I think that would be important. Anyway, we will hopefully talk about this down the line because it would be a very emotive show. I mean, Greg Dyke's in it and everything. Greg Dyke, the old...
Fuck me, so Bingo Balance is going to be big.
Hi. Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
What did you say?
Of course.
What did you say there?
Why would Greg Dyke not be in it? Of course he's going to be in it.
Of course, mate. He'd be the big fucking villain. I don't watch wrestling on TV anymore. It's a pile of shit.
Listen,
look at me trying to get over my
maybe they knock this fucking idea, by the way. This is, see, now I've said this out loud. If anybody tries to pitch this anywhere else, you know that it's been knocked for here. And this will be getting pitched to all the major broadcasters very soon. I want to put this to you as well, boys. I was actually thinking of pitching this to WWE as well.
Why?
I think it would be a great... The WWE Network have never done anything like this. They've never done like a drama. And I think it could be... Anyway,
BBC Scotland. That'll do.
But, oh, fuck's sake, mate. I can't make it for fucking two bob.
Right. Wayne C. Smith is Big Daddy's wife.
Anyway,
why are we just thinking about Big Daddy's wife?
Jordan Young plays Greg Dyke.
As if this is like the key.
Oh, that's good, but
who does?
Jordan Young playing Greg Dyke. That's fucking great, man.
Nah, Kyle Customs wrestling figure maker extraordinaire. He's too handsome. Jordan's too handsome.
But handsome people are villains, no?
Hey, Jordan is Kendo Nagasaki. You're like because obviously somebody would need to play Kendo Nagasaki, by the way, innit?
Creator.
So Kyle Customs, wrestling figure maker extraordinaire. He wants to bury the fact that females never event main event War Games, especially after the match they put on. And he wants to put over his newborn's Ultimate Warrior baby grow. Fantastic. Oh, Ultimate Warrior baby grow. I wish we had a photo of that. Please do send a picture of that. Willie Jakes, 2024, wants to put over AEW Dynamite for last week, one of the best so far, and bury Retribution. The whole thing has been a shambles for a start. Bronze Cello, friend of the show, wants to put over Coach Trip on last week's show. That was a great. We need to get Coach Trip back on because that guy's got me a stories and he's so funny. I have to say, my mother-in-law Rose, who I've spoken about before on the show, loved Coach Trip on telling his stories. ICW on the network again is good, says Bronze Cello, and the Jason Reed versus Ian Skinner match. Impact AEW working relationship is good stuff. Hopefully, we're going to get some amazing dream matches in 2021. And he wants to bury a night out with the Undisputed Era for last Wednesday's NXT. No. What the fuck is the deal with Adam Cole, man? Right, because I thought to myself, I'm being hard on these boys, right? And I thought, I'm going to tune in and watch. That guy, a fucking stiff breeze could blow that cunt out. What's going on with Adam Cole? The guy's shrinking. If anything, he's getting smaller. Am I right? Am I right, John? Is it getting smaller?
Aye, I think they've run their course now. I'd be honest. I think the Undisputed Era, the wrong booking decision was made at War Games. Pat McAfee's boys should have went over and they did this whole, like Bronze Chell was referring to, that whole segment they did in NXT last week where they're all wearing suits and going to dinner. It was fucking pish.
Well, mate, John, I am glad that you will now shut up about the Undisputed Era because I tell you, it was becoming an Undisputed Eric. Right, Percy. I don't know, Percy. How y'all know, Percy? Has said my soon-to-be ex-wife would like to put over Grado, Rab and producer John for being the thinking woman's relish throughout this erotically turbulent year. Fuck knows what that means, but I know I shouldn't be happy about it. Sorry, hear that, Percy, now. Your wife fancies us, Percy.
You wrote Percy, didn't you?
I wrote that sketch in Tune of Fat, by the way. That's what fucking I was referencing sketch, there. Mate. Okay, so thanks for that. Now, Grado is going to read you some Patreon information, which is very crucial as this pandemic continues, because me and Grado, I mean, Grado's getting plenty of work, obviously. He's doing pantomime. He's got the radio shows in the morning. He's got the Hogmanay show with the murderers. But Rab is sitting in the house. So get your money into the Patreon and help your old dad out. Right, tell him, Hawk.
Right, so get more Wrestling Daft content at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. You could even get signed up for a year as a wee Christmas present to yourself, and if you do that, we're going to give you 10% off. We've set up three tiers which you can choose to get involved with at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. But first, a shout out to Willie, who has unadopted his panda in order to sign up to the Patreon. That's funny, man. Tier 1 Cruiserweight Champion, which is $4 a month, and that you get a patron-only chat community, ad-free versions of all the episodes, early access and random bonus content, you get the video version of the Marks podcast, you also get to vote on what you want to see featured in the list of Wrestling Daft and for the Marks Fantasy Booking Island. Tier 2 is the Intercontinental Champion, which is $10 a month. You get everything in Tier 1 as well as video version of the podcast each week. You get bonus episodes up there just now. You can get Rab on Wrestling, the first two parts of Grado It's Your Style Story, and RF Shoot Video as Grado Interviews Rab. Plus, in the next couple of weeks, a special edition of the Marks WrestleMind, the Biznox, as we take on John and Gary in a special Attitude Era quiz in order to see who has brand supremacy. But the Marks will have the Dafties of 2020. Just a wee note to say that we were offered this match, John, Rab, weren't we? And we said we're not burying ourselves by having it today with any time in wrestling. Yeah, especially now because I don't watch it.
It's an Attitude Era quiz now, yeah. We've levelled the playing field.
So we can horse them. So
we've not levelled the fucking playing field. We've just made it more interesting for I'm not answering questions about Adam Cole's best match and all that kind of stuff. User, isn't he? I'm answering questions. Listen, I can't even remember that Attitude Era either, so you're going to get horsed regardless.
I can
remember. I know the boys you work with. John, the boys you work with on that Marks podcast, I mean, they are watching their wrestling all the time. They're single men. They're virgins. They've got nothing else to do. Watch your wrestling. So it's going to be tough for us.
I'm good at that shit, mate. I'm the best in my football podcast, getting like the 90s stuff into John.
Yeah, you're very good, Guido.
And also, you can join our Patreon pay-per-view parties. Producer John is thinking of doing a live one for TLC on the 20th if MD is up for it. Tier 3, you're the World Heavyweight Champion, which is $20 a month, and you get everything in the previous tiers as well as a free Wrestling Daft shirt design of your choice, but you must be signed up for a minimum of 3 months. Plus, to get featured on one of our shows as one of our marks, or do a run-in on the show. I've just realised everybody that does a run-in pays $20 a month. That's quite mad. So if you fancy that, becoming one of our patrons, sign up now at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft, as we would love to welcome you to the roster.
Now, it's the part of the show where we invite you, the listener, to do a run-in. This week, let's welcome back to the show one of our most loyal listeners. It is Colin, who you might remember as a new father, and we wanted him to join us for a Christmas update. Oh, but he is contacting us from a car where he is on the run after killing his ex-wife and his ex-wife's boyfriend, and he's currently on the motorway on the run in a car just now. So how are you doing, mate?
What's happening? You all right?
We're all right. What are you doing in your motor?
I'm grafting, mate. I'm what?
What are you doing?
I'm working, man. I'm out in my motor so that my gaffers don't fucking catch me zooming into a podcast.
What are you doing?
Oh, you fucking love this, man. I just get moved away from the runway there, man. I work at Aero Systems at Prestwick Airport. I was sitting there waiting on zooming in there. I was right next to the fucking runway and fucking security came and moved me the fucks.
No way, man.
So you work at the airport?
No, I work next to the airport building planes. Building planes, man. They build wings.
You build
fucking
wings.
Fucking hell, man.
Fucking hell, mate. So, like, if you have a bad day and put the wrong screw in the wing, fucking 400 people are dead.
That's tremendous. Do you get to fix it to the plane, or do you make the wing and then send parts?
See, if you imagine, like, we build like a chassis for the wing, mm-hmm. and then that gets sent down to Broughton, and then it all gets put onto the plane.
Aye, but is it the chassis for the wing or the chassis for the full bifter of the plane?
It's the chassis for the wing. I build the trailing edge in my hangar, and they build the leading edge in an hangar. And then basically,
you work in a hangar, mate.
Aye, mate. It's just a big fucking factory. Do you
basically put the holes in the wing, and also the fuel can get in it?
Well, I think the wing acts as like one whole big fuel tank. Is it not?
Aye, and it balances it out, doesn't it?
It does so, mate. Aye.
Wait a minute, the fucking fuel is in the wing.
Aye, mate.
I know. Did you not know that?
No.
That's mad, isn't it?
So hold on. So you're basically, when you're in a plane, you're basically sitting inside a bomb.
Aye. Oh, it doesn't really matter if it's a bomb or no. If it's going down, it's going fucking down, isn't it?
Fucking hell, mate. Mm-hmm. You don't get this fucking chat in Jim Cornette's show, by the way.
No, you don't know. Fuck Jim Cornette, by the way.
Aye, too right, mate. Too right.
Because he's so negative, mate. Everything's just negative, negative, negative. What about spreading a bit of positivity about the place? In the cunt's face, fuck him, man.
You are a very positive guy. Is it because... Do you think you're a positive guy because you make wings and you genuinely make people fly? Do you think that means why you're positive?
I don't think I was a lot positive but a long time before I come in here. I'm surrounded by a lot of negativity, mate. See, when you stay in a council estate and you're just surrounded by a lot of... I don't know, poverty's the right word, but...
Well, I hope we're on the exactly
fucking blessed. But when you're surrounded by that much negativity, everybody needs a wee lift every now and again. Nice haircut, John. Check that out.
Thanks, Colin. Thanks.
You're looking suave, my man.
He looks like he should be in a boy band, doesn't he? John looks like as if he should be in a boy band. I look about 60. Grado's looking all right. Grado's just looking much.
I think I'm looking all right today.
Nah, you're looking all right today.
I suppose so.
You know what I mean?
Have you ever phoned any Clyde? Exactly that.
No, mate, this is it. This is the only time I've ever been interactive with fucking anything. I'm not that guy, man. But this is my main source of entertainment for a week.
Really?
Aye, man. I look forward to this every fucking week.
Damn.
And then I come fucking, oh, wait till you hear this. I come on the last time. It was like fucking, remember the lassies get cancelled because they were following fucking Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker at WrestleMania, and then they get bumped off the curb. That's what I felt like the last time I was on. I fucking followed. Remember wee Billy with the chair that went viral and all that? I was on the fucking week after him, and then I come on fucking, and then you weren't even on the fucking show, Grado. Your bum didn't let you on the show or something.
Aye. Mate, we were suffering even after wee Billy came on. We were like, fuck's sake, man, he should be hosting this programme.
I know, man, I know.
He was good there.
People having Eva was good, wasn't he? He was good. Why are we in with that funny Gradle? Is it because we're old? Do you think it's age? Don't you?
Bro, do you know what it is? Do you know what it is? Let me answer. Can I answer this, please? I think it is that yous two know that he's a funny guy. I think that guy's just an unconscious comedian. I don't think he knows how fucking funny he is.
Oh, I don't know. There was something.
Don't get me wrong. Maybe new, but no, went fucking viral and everything. These Billy Big Boys, but
no. Like, see when he was saying like... things. See when he said that. See when he was saying things. He had a wee fucking twinkle in his eye. Like he had the patter. He was a natural, I think.
But he's a TikTok star now. You know, he does TikToks and fucking. He'll be on fucking.
He's going out with Ariana Grande now. He's going out with Ariana Grande.
He's going with Dana for the scheme I have.
That's funny, man. He's gone with Dana for the scheme. That's funny, man.
So what's your plans for Christmas, man? What's your plans for Christmas?
What's anybody doing at fucking Christmas, mate? Fuck's sake, man. I'm gonna stuff my face. I'm not a big drinker, man, so I'm gonna stuff my face and get high on life.
What do you get, turkey?
Don't know. I'm going on Mars, man. So I'm gonna make some chicken and rice soup, some stovies, some macaroni Gredo.
Oh, make some fucking macaroni. Mate. See, before you tell me your macaroni recipe, because I want to hear it. I bought a soup maker last year and it's fucking gathered dust in the cupboard for the last.
Right, see the soup maker. Mm-hmm. Does it make your soup go watery as fuck?
Mate, I must admit, there's two bits to it. You can put it smooth or you can do it chunky.
Aye.
See how on Saturday, man. Wow, I saw this on what do you call him? James Martin. He does Saturday's Kitchen. Well, he was on this morning last week. He made a cunt. He nearly set his cell on fire, but he was making curried. Curried cauliflower soup. And I swear to God, I done it in the soup maker on Saturday night, and it was tremendous. And all it was a shitload of cauliflower. Cauliflower, onion, milk. Curry powder and fucking maybe a bit of garlic, and you just throw it in and see 20 minutes later, come out. It was fucking tremendous, man.
And did you do this in your soup maker?
Soup maker, and literally it takes 10 minutes. Well,
what is a soup maker? It's not a pot, is it?
It's like a big massive flask, mate. It's about a flask the size of like a fire extinguisher. And you just literally, you don't need soap, fuck all.
You spray the soup after it's finished, you fucking spray it in your mouth.
But let me, literally, it's the easiest fucking thing ever, man. I'm going to get right and tap it, man. I'm going to start having lunch that instead of going.
You're not a soup guy.
I'll put my horns up the room, man. I'm fucking.
I'm better than a bowl of homemade soup, man. Tiger loaf
is delicious, isn't it? I'll tell you what, there's no fucking homemade soup that's better than Heinz tomato soup.
I seen a hang on fucking Patton Holly yesterday morning. I'm Berkshire, by the way. I don't just sit about the house. He says that some guy was fucking in, getting how they show you all the shit that's fucking for sale this year that you need to go and buy. It was like a wee oven hang, right? And Pat was like, oh, I've got one of them at home. And then they says that it cooks a 12-inch pizza in 1 minute, a frozen pizza in a minute.
What is that?
I don't know. What is
an air fryer, by the way?
I've got one of them.
What is a fucking air fryer?
They're superb. I've got an air fryer down the stair, mate. Tidy. Basically, mate, all you do is, let's see, I've made the best ever chicken wings ever with that. You just put the chicken wings in and you put a dodo garlic oil in it, boofed, and you press chicken wings and it does it in 20 minutes and it is tidy. It makes your chips dead crispy. It makes, fucking, see if you've got like pecora and all that for the freezer shove that in and you just put a wee dodo oil and it comes out amazing.
Hope you're enjoying wrestling daft, everybody.
My gran used to have a pot for her chips, man, right? And then, like, see when she was by making them, like, the oil in it would go all fucking, it would be like, what is it, lard or something?
It comes, it goes hard.
But then she would just put it back in the cupboard, and then the next thing she'd put it out and heat it up.
But that's all right, I think, innit? Because by the time it gets to back up to that boiling temperature, here's a story, right? See the chip fat you used to get in a chip pot. I remember my sister used to make tablet all the time, right? And she made absolutely
tablet.
She'd make tablet for the whole family, right? But I would always come home and I'd sneak into the fridge and she'd have a tablet setting in a plate and cut into squares. And I would always go in and just tan fucking loads of it before anybody else could get the hod on it, right? But one day she made tablet and I came home for school, right? Like when I was in secondary school, I came home for school. I was maybe fourth year or something. She says, I've made tablet. it's in the fridge, and I went in and I grabbed a big fucking junk of tablet that was in the fridge and walloped it right into my mouth, and it was fucking chip fat.
I swear
she fucking sliced up into bits. They fucking tricked me. She says, don't eat it because it's not totally set yet. And I was like, aye, right, fucking home. And in my mouth, fucking disgusting chip fat.
See, just a Halloween there. I swear to God, I had some fucking tablets sitting next to my cooker, and my mate come in and he was like, is that about a tablet? I was like, no, it's grease for the fucking pan. It's grease for my steaks I was making, put it in my fucking cupboard that he's fucking ruined. Oh, very good.
Well, mate, listen, thanks so much for jumping back on, particularly
you
when
questions?
You... You've got questions? Have you got questions still?
We still do that.
We don't need questions when he's coming
is
back.
Is it still socially acceptable to like Michael Jackson?
Hey, well, listen, I still listen to Michael Jackson, I must admit, a day.
I was listening to Thriller before I came out there, man, and I was like... Dun, 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 dun. I was dancing away in that, and I was like... Aye. I don't know if I should tell folk that's what I'm dancing to.
Mate, don't you be fucking distracted when you're putting your wings together. Let me just say, you stay focused.
Oh, don't worry about it, mate. It's not as fucking glamorous as it sounds.
I was listening to Michael Jackson live in Bucharest at the weekend, mate. I think you can get away, but there's other people.
What were you doing in Bucharest?
I've been in Bucharest. Right.
Come on.
I swear to God, I knew it was, and I'll tell you when it's official. The Cumnock accent is the fucking best accent in the world. I'm telling you.
What's
her face for Deacon Blue? What do you call the lead singer?
She's for Cumnock.
She's for Cumnock, man. We were talking about it on Monday, man. And I was just telling her it's the fucking best. And she get right into it. She started talking Cumnock talk. And it was fucking brilliant. The skull and her tays and fucking fowler and porridge and skull and the doctor.
Fowler, aye. Stephen, I'll even. Oh, yeah.
Even.
Let's get out of you.
Cheers, Cole. Thanks so much.
Hey, cheers, mate. Thank you.
Love you guys, man. Thanks
you
very
soon,
much.
Man, right. Have a nice
cheers,
Christmas.
Guys. Thanks. Peace. Nice day. Bye-bye.
Right, if you're looking for the ultimate stoking filler for Christmas, look no further, because Manscaped, I've got the tools to make you win this year's stoking stuffer competition. Manscaped is the only brand dedicated to the below-the-waist grooming area, hygiene products, and great news, they've just released their products across Europe, Canada, and Australia. And I'll tell you what right now, I've been sent 2 Manscaped kits, right? And they are sublime. I've opened one of them, and the other one is being kept in case, possibly, I get Barry Ferguson and the Secret Santa on the Go Radio. You'll be getting that. That's actually... I'm just keeping my head right now, what I'm going to do. But that is what I'm going to do. Even if I get Joe the News guy, he's getting it too. So, because I've already got my Manscaped, and I've used it recently. Because anytime I like to make appearances on the TV, I like to make sure that my balls are fresh. And on Monday there at the BBC, I was filming something for Hugmanay, and I put the leotard on for the first time since March. It was very, very emotional. I was busting at it. I felt very, very uncomfortable. However, I was thinking positive, knowing the fact that my balls were shiny, hygienic, smooth and bald. So, a few of the products that are prime stocking stuffers this season are the Crop Preserver. It's basically body odorant, and the name speaks for itself. You're not wanting balls that are reeking. You want nice, hygienic, perfect perfumed smelling balls. And tell you what, I've used it and I'm actually quite sensitive down there, and I'm prone to a wee rash or two, but ever since using the Crop Preserver, that's never ever been the case. The Crop Reviver is a ball toner. It's basically a spray-on toner that gives your balls that little slice of heaven with the aloe vera and hazel extracts. And that aloe vera extract cools your balls down, not to the point where it's nippy, it's relaxation at its finest. The Crop Cleanser, that's a body wash. So once you've shaved your balls, you get in the shower, it's a full body wash, and you can also use it in your hair as well. I do that as well because it's insensitive, should I say. Basically, I use this mad shampoo that stops you from getting dandruff, and I've stopped using that now for the Crop Cleanser because it does the exact same job that this does. The Crop Mop Ball Wipes, where you never know when an opportunity strikes. So you always need to be prepared. That's all I'm going to say about that one. Ball wipes, you don't even need to use them in their balls as well. I've seen me sometimes pull their foreskin back and use them there as well. That's a bit too much information. However, the Foot Duster is a foot deodorant, and it's designed to keep the stankiest feet smelling fresh. The Shears 2.0 is a luxury four-piece nail kit. You're not going to be biting your nails this Christmas festive season. Use the Shears 2.0. The Weed Whacker nose and heat. The Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer, which provides proprietary skin-safe technology to get rid of those nasty hairs. I've got my nose cropper sitting about here somewhere. I use that very regularly. And let's not forget about the best trimmer for your arse, your buzz, and your body. It's the Lawnmower 3.0. That trimmer offers a replaceable ceramic blade with advanced skin-safe technology, which helps you reduce grooming accidents, and accidents they occur when you're using your own Moz Bic razor. So that's why you want to use the Lawnmower. And these formulations are all vegan, cruelty-free. They don't put these ball products on pair wee spaniels. They don't do that. They're dye-free. They're sulfate-free. And we all know how ridiculous using sulfate products can be. And they're paraben-free. So you know that the products are legit. You can get 20% off and free shipping as well at manscaped.com with the code WRESTLING20. Whether this is for your partner, your da, brother, friend, get them something they will actually use, and it's almost sure to get a laugh. And I tell you what, that's actually a very good point. Imagine you get your old da a clapper for his boys at Christmas time. I'm sure it will go down well with all the family as you're tucking into your Yuletide fillings. You get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with the code WRESTLING20. Be the ballsiest gift giver this year with Manscaped. Trademark.
You just made the list!
Every week, we run down a chart of something wrestling-related on our list of Wrestling Daft.
Oh, here he goes again.
You can come vote for on. You can vote.
Shawn Michaels and is it three and Mr. Perfect's at two and Bret Hart. Fuck off, man.
You can vote for what you want us to talk about at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. On the run up to the end of the year, we're doing the best wrestling bits of 2020. Oh, this week, once again, we put up best pay per views, but it went against best matches and lost again as best matches go up with 57%. Thanks to our patrons for engaging with us there. If you want to be a patron, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. It is the top three matches of 2020. Grado, you first.
Best match. Fuck, I don't even know if I've
top seen three. Your top three,
year.
Grado.
Top three matches this year. I don't know, mate. Brock Lindo. Fuck's sake. Brock Lesnar and Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania. That's the best, man.
Brock Lindo versus.
That's the 36 Crazy Fist singer. I got mixed them up because I was on his Instagram the other day. Selling harsh now.
I'll do my top three. Okay. Coming in at number three for me. But my number three is Thunder Rosa versus Priscilla Kelly, which was on Primetime Live in 22nd of September, but has now finally been released for everybody to see on YouTube on NWA Shockwave, which you can see on YouTube, NWA Shockwave Episode 2. And I will encourage everybody listening to this show to watch Thunder Rosa versus Priscilla Kelly on NWA Shockwave Episode 2 because it is a fantastic match. It goes about 40 minutes or something. It's a big, long, brilliant women's wrestling match. And it's a real, I think it's we all know how good Thunder Rosa is, but Priscilla Kelly really steps up, does a lot of kind of unorthodox stuff. It's just a great match. My third favourite match of the year. What do you think of that, Grado?
That's a good match, that man.
You've not even fucking watched it. Go and watch it. Watch that match. Number two. We're heading to Japan. We're heading to Japan, guys, for number two. And it's Go Shiozaki versus Katsuhiko Nakajima. Mm-hmm. 22nd of November, 20th anniversary show for Noah. These guys have gone at it in the ring many a time. It's one of the great... For one of the things, it's a wrestling match. It's a kind of Japanese wrestling match that I like. It harks back to early Noah, harks back to late All Japan. These guys go way back as well. They've had encounters, and it's just a great Japanese wrestling match, hard hitting, emotional match, which is worth you checking out. And either of you seen that one?
No, I've not. I missed that one.
All right, here's one you will.
It's getting sent out, but I've ordered it.
Here's one you will have seen. Number one, Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso, Clash of the Champions.
That was good.
Clash of Champions 2020, Reigns versus Uso. I think one of the most significant matches of Roman Reigns' career. Mm-hmm. One of the most important matches of the no audience era because it showed a new way to do storytelling in the ring. I think it is going to be, as the years go by, it's going to be looked back on as a kind of turning point match in the story of professional wrestling. It was a match that also had Jey Uso really step up into a new role. It's a match that has, I think, really been the mark of a new direction for the WWE ever since. And I just loved it. I loved everything about it. I thought it was two guys working beautifully in the ring, and I thought the storytelling was amazing, and I thought all the dialogue within it was great. It was like watching a fucking movie. It was brilliant. My favourite match of the year. So that's my top three. What do you think, guys? Was that good? Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, no, I did. I must go and check out that Thunder Rosa match.
You should also watch the Shiozaki and Nakajima match. I think you would enjoy that. You would enjoy that, John. Okay, so Chris has been in touch. He says this year's Royal Rumble was the best match for him this year. That's interesting. So different and such a feel-good moment we drew. That's true. That's true. Seems decades ago now. Ain't that the truth? Steve says Walter versus Dragunov. Even as a very casual viewer these days, I went out my way to find the time to watch this. And for 20 or more minutes, they went full steam, super stiff, in an empty room. It shows you can put on a good match without an atmosphere generated by fans. Yeah. Paul says Grado versus Alexa was his favourite match of the year. Or the Stadium Stampede.
Stadium Stampede was good.
I thought everybody hated that.
John liked it.
Stadium Stampede was really good.
Right, okay, okay.
That was the best cinematic match of the year, definitely.
I remember John liking that. Derek says the parking lot fight between best friends versus Santana and Ortiz.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Mania 85 suggested the Young Bucks versus Omega and Hangman at Revolution by a huge margin. No,
I've watched that match. That was too long, man.
I've watched that match, and that is the definition of an overrated match, by the way.
It's me, isn't it?
That is a definition of a fucking overrated match. You know what, it was a good match, I enjoyed it, but I agree with Grado, actually. It did feel as if it was too long, kind of ponderous in places. I'm looking forward to Kenny Omega in 2021, though. I kind of feel Kenny came out and joined AEW, and I think he has been extremely unselfish in that company. I think he's been helping to put other people over. I think he's been doing a lot of work behind the scenes. I think he did not come in and step into the position that he maybe, you could argue that he should have stepped into, which was right up the top of the curb. But I think he's going to get the chance now to be who he should be in AEW, and I'm looking forward to that. 2021.
I see that fucking Young Bucks and Omega and Hangman, right? They're four of the most talented guys, right? A match like that, to me, that's just the skill in that is, obviously they're skill in doing what they did, but in terms of, it's just remembering, and let's see how many times we can kick out. I don't know, man. They are fucking tremendous wrestlers, all four of them, but for me, if you want to do something like that, keep it to, I mean, have a cheap, buy something cheap, but fucking 10 minutes, man, geezer, that day.
They all have, they really are all brilliant wrestlers, these guys, right? And I think Hangman Page is brilliant. Mm-hmm. I have a thing with the Young Bucks, and I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, because they're extremely talented wrestlers. I think they're just no my kind of wrestler. Do you know what I mean? I think it's just not my kind of wrestling. I think there is an argument that they are one of the greatest tag teams there's ever been, right? I think you can easily say they're one of the greatest tag teams there's ever been, but I'm no mad on tag team wrestling. And I've never been mad on tag team wrestling, if I'm being honest. I enjoy watching a tag match here and there and stuff, but it's never been something I've hugely... I love it when a tag team splits up. I love it when a tag team splits up. So I suppose they're just no really... You know, their style isn't my cup of tea, because what the Young Bucks style is to me is a very kind of, despite the fact that they're very modern in how they wrestle, it's still a very classic tag team dynamic they go for, you know what I mean? Anyway, blabbering on about actual wrestling here, we should be talking about soup. Right. Scott says the Firefly Funhouse match at Mania, loved every second of it. No, I forgot about that. That was mental, wasn't it?
It wasn't really a match, though.
It was a segment, I would say. Dylan says Stadium Stampede, massively entertaining, still the best cinematic match I've seen. Colin, finally, some sense from Colin saying Roman versus Jey Uso at whatever pay-per-view that was a couple of weeks ago. Surely he's meaning Clash of Champions, right? He's meaning the first one. Sandy says I'd go for Walter versus Dragunov 100%, but a close second has to be a forgotten classic because it feels so long ago. Tyler Bate versus Jordan Devlin at TakeOver Blackpool. phenomenal matches. That was a good match. Puts to shame nearly everything main roster has put out all year. Andy says Noam Dar versus Stevie Boy for the ICW title at the Square Go. It was a lot of fun. God, that seems a long time ago, didn't it?
Wow. Yeah.
This didn't seem.
You were at that event. Did you must have seen that one, Grade, or did you not bother looking through the
that one? Hold on, I'm on.
Was it this year? I was on an ICW show.
No, was it no? It was no. The big one last year.
Oh, was there? I was here in Lothian, wasn't it?
Aye, that was good. That.
Fuck me, man! I can't.
That was my best match.
Feels like 100 years ago. Oh. The altercation between a returning DCT and Jackie Polo was something else too. Not a match, I know, but it blew the roof clean after SWG3. Hard to believe it took place in a shit show that was 2020. Ross says it's got to be Water versus Dragunov, an absolute belter from bell to bell. Jennifer, maybe we'll see some representation for women's wrestling here. No, I'm hoping. In no particular order, Jordan Grace versus Deonna Purrazzo in a 30-minute Iron Woman match. Beautiful. Bayley versus Sasha Banks at Hell in a Cell, which was a great match, by the way.
I watched that one day.
Which only just... Could have made it onto my list. That was a great match. Drew McIntyre versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 36. Just like your man Grado says. Also not a match, but Kaylee Ray for holding the NXT UK belt for over a year. Hashtag forever champion. And Stephen says the Young Bucks versus Hangman Omega was tremendous in front of an absolutely wild crowd in Chicago. Hey, do you remember crowds? So that was interesting, that. But I would... listen, I'm not going to tell Grado to watch the... a Japanese wrestling match, right? Because he's no the biggest fan. But I would rather
that's bollocks. I'd rather watch a Japanese match than half of that other shit.
Grado, I would say to you to try and watch that Thunder Rosa and Priscilla Kelly match. I think you would like it.
Right. Okay. No, I definitely will.
I think you would like it.
I'll get into it. Some good the festive period.
Some good intensity, and again, you can see that on YouTube. NWA Shockwave episode 2.
Woo!
Christmas isn't far away, remember, everybody. So why not buy the loved one in your life a Wrestling Daft t-shirt? And now we have brand new designs.
New designs,
finally, including the Mark is here with a picture of the Wrestling Daft belt.
Brilliant.
No, this is Mark. I'm getting one of these t-shirts. Wrestling's Kid On, it says on it. Wrestling's Kid On is a fucking great t-shirt, isn't it? And the immortal quote for the immortal Hulk Hogan on a t-shirt. You can have it on your own t-shirt. Good night, Hulkamaniacs and Jabroni Marks without a life. I don't know it's a work when you work the work. Work yourself into a shoot, Marks. Get that for yourself on a Wrestling Daft t-shirt.
I'm just waiting for the lawsuit to come from the Hulk.
I know. Cease and desist is going to come, innit?
It won't last, that one. I don't think that could be limited edition.
How good would it be to get a cease and desist after Hulk Hogan, though?
That'd be fucking great, reading it out on the show.
No, only that, I will say, Hogan, we'll take it down if you come down, if you come on the show, we'll take them off sale.
Anyway, t-shirts are great.
Oh, aye, t-shirts are great. Not only that, though, we also have hoodies, face masks, phone covers, trucker caps, bum bags, aprons. Aprons?
Yep, new on Wrestling Daft, you can get a Wrestling Daft apron so you can do your cooking with it. Because a new Grado would like that.
That is good. That'll do me when I'm using my suit maker.
shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/WrestlingDaft for all that stuff. You'll find, of course, our classic designs such as Alexa, who's Graham Steveley, I'm a Mark, Crud, Chips, Cheese and Donner Meat, and I'm a Wrestler Tay. Loads of stuff. Just jump on and have a look. Check out our range at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/WrestlingDaft. Now, or check out the links on our Facebook page or Twitter at Wrestling Daft. Now, imagine you were a wrestler on the way back for a show and you wanted to pop a voice. What's the one story you could tell that would put you over? Well, me and Grado are jumping in the motor and we want to tell your story. So let's get this motor started. You're driving, Grado, right? I'm in the passenger seat. Oh, here we go, man.
I'll tell you what,
I fucking done my shoulder tonight, by the way.
Aye.
Aye.
I wish I could give you some pills or whatever, but I don't touch them.
No, you get nothing?
I don't touch any of that.
What kind of wrestler are you, man?
Well, my mom, man, she drilled it into me from a young age. Not to touch drugs. See, when we'd drive past junkies on the way to school, she'd always say things like, "See that junkie there? I went to school with him. He was one of the smartest boys in the year and he took drugs, and look what's happened to him." I mean, obviously, it was bullshit for her part, because every junkie we drove past for 5 years was apparently in her class. But it worked, mate. Never touched the hang. Even when my mates were doing buckets, I didn't bother. Anyway. So, I tell you, I grew up...
We take a left here. There's a good food place down here.
Aye. Right, cool. What are you fancying tonight?
No, I don't know, man. Just whatever. But there's a couple of good wee places down here. Aye, sorry, carry on, mate.
It's my cheat day, mate. So, anyway, I grew up, man. I mean, I don't get me wrong, I did start going to pubs and clubs and I was getting pished. Even when cunts were doing lines in the clubs, man, I never bothered, I didn't fancy it, I suppose my moz worked. And fast forward a couple of years, man, mind that music trio, mind Swedish House Mafia.
Oh, that's right.
Aye.
Hold on, were they the ones that walked, they walked up the fucking East Coast territories? Was it a band?
Aye, it's a band, mate.
Oh, no, sorry, mate. Sorry, aye. I thought you were talking about a tag team, right?
No. This is a mob that, remember they were splitting up and they were doing a farewell tour, and I can't remember. For some reason, they were only doing Britain, and the nearest city was Amsterdam. And you can tell where this is going, can't you? Because it's. Because me and a group of the boys, man, we book tickets, we get flights, and I tell, comes today the flight, my baby, and about 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm drinking in the house before it, in the airport, I'm on the plane. By the way, side story, that afternoon, when we were sitting beside me in the flight, and I was hanging over him, I was absolutely busting. So we get to Amsterdam, right, always are steaming before the gig, right, and we went to one of the boys' mates for the Fitba team, right, and there's a joint getting passed about, right.
Yeah.
You know the story, man. Billy the Big Boss here, man, decides I'm going to try my first ever narcotic and see after a full day of drinking. So I takes one puff it, and I literally mean one puff of this joint, and see about 30 seconds later, start feeling sick, you know.
Fucking stop.
Into the toilet, try and whitey, face plant the toilet, pass out, and I'm in this random guy's hotel room. My mates, they couldn't wake me up, right, and I had to get a hotel staff, no joy for him, because it was, I had no joy for him, so they ended up phoning an ambulance. So I wake up about 4 bells in the next morning, right, missed the entire concert, doctor told me I was technically in a mild coma, somebody also dipped my pockets, so I didn't have my phone, wallet or anything, had to get a taxi back to the hotel, wake up my mate to go and buy the taxi. Anyway.
This be one puff in a joint.
That's it. Oh, and for the next morning, right, the 40 passed. The next morning, see the 40 and me passed out with the paramedics all about me. They're doing the rounds on social media. That's how my moth on it, poor woman. See, tap it off. The entire story was trending on Twitter under the hashtag one puff. I'm sure my mate Steve still has me saved in his phone as one draw McGraw. See, just to add on to that, right?
Aye.
I was putting a drip and the doctor said about the coma, he says, he asked me for payment. And I couldn't provide the payment because of the dip pockets, so they had to take my details. I tell you, they chased me up for about a year after I get home, but I kept ignoring it. Eventually, I got a phone call saying I had a warrant out and we wouldn't be allowed back into Holland. But anyway, I went back a few years with a girlfriend a few years later, who's now my wife. No warrant, so obviously bullshit. However, I did try a joint again and hit another badging. Lost the feeling in my legs, waited at the bus stop on the way home. Tell your ab, never again.
Oh man, I'm glad to hear you're not touching any of that stuff anymore, my man. Beautiful here. Let's dope in here for some ribs. Will we get some fucking ribs in here?
Let's dope in here, man. I'll get it, right.
You don't mind if I spark up a big spliffer on this here?
There's your out.
Beautiful. And who was provided that story?
Story was brought today from Chubster Jason.
One of our patrons.
As if he's no fucking embarrassed himself enough, he's calling himself Chubster Jason as well.
Wine,
that was brilliant.
And Chubster Jason, but
that's the kind of stories we're wanting. That's what we're wanting. This is my favourite segment of the show. This is the kind of stories we're wanting.
Like, anyway, Rob, for me, this has been an absolutely fantastic show. We've covered,
it's been a good one.
Covered a lot of progress.
It's been a good one. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple or get us in wherever you get your podcasts. We go twice a week now, so you can catch us on a Friday and the Marks podcast on a Tuesday. Next week, they've got Gary's chat with AA himself. Gary's getting into a bit of AA. Situation next week, but AA for Gary. AA for Gary.
Well done, man. That's good for
next
him.
Next week. Gary's in a bit of AA on his OnlyFans. Get on Gary's OnlyFans. Only kidding, Gary. I love you. Also, remember to get on our page.
Who you should interview next week?
Who?
Triple A. Aye, the batteries, not the wrestling company.
Not the listener of the week yet.
Listener of the week. Well, let's go back and have a wee look. I think a listener of the week should be.
Chubster was a belter.
The story was great, so let's get you Chubster. That was
well
really
done,
good.
Chubster Jason.
And I'm glad you came out your coma, mate. Also, remember to get on our Patreon, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft, to check out the video version of all this nonsense. Why not buy yourself a t-shirt? Like we said, shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. Gradle, it has been a pleasure. And I'll see you next week, mate.
I'll
we'll catch
you
up again.
Week,
and you, of course, John, we'll never forget our custodian, in a sense, our prison warden, in a sense,
our
ally. Fucking outrageous.
He's got a nice wee
Gradle figure of Stone in there right behind him. I can see it. And a picture behind your figure of yourself as PC Hugh McCurdy. Right, well, up the road, Gradle is. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Right, we'll see you later. It's yourself then, aye, isn't it?
It's yourself. John, where's
11, your 11.
Get your catchphrase out as well.
Keep marking out.
Audio Frontier.